the idea of personal psak. On the one hand, there's a concept of intuition in psak, but intuition that is, you know, informed by a lot of experience and, of course, anchored in a tremendous amount of knowledge and deep understanding of makaros, but that, you know, then transcends that. That's there's a very famous, you know, comment of the Chassam Sofer, which is quoted and sometimes misquoted, about how, you know, sometimes he wrote the, you know, the psakim, you know, first, and then, you know, figured out the rayas later on. So of course it doesn't mean at all that, you know, he you know, just had expedient psak chas v'shalom, and that he, you know, just gave the answers that he wanted and then, you know, tried to justify them. It means exactly the opposite. It means that he had, you know, based on years of learning and experience and, as I say, a very deep understanding, to the extent that he was, you know, kind of had a rhythm, you know, with the system, that he, like, you know, intuited, he could tell whether something, you know, like a great diagnostician, you know. So that's really, on the one hand, you want somebody who, you know, who is able to, you know, to respond and to respond effectively and efficiently and sometimes quickly and sometimes with the, you know, knowledge, skill set of mechudadim b'picha, but at the same time, to look at each case as if it's an individual case, and as if it might be a new case, to, you know, to be able to integrate the various different factors and forces, etc. I mean, these are some of the things that we discussed in Hevo Mesunim Badim. Anyway, that's the first pillar. The second pillar and the third is Hamidu Talmidim Harbe. That's the second. And Asu Siagla Torah. So let's talk about them a little bit as well. The idea of Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, it really seems to be a requirement or a charge to be involved in chinuch, right? To teach and to produce Talmidim Harbe. It's a strange little bit when we first encounter it, one of the things we need to discuss, because normally when we think of education, we don't think it in terms of, you know, maybe today we do, but normally not in terms of mass, you know, produced education. We think of it in terms of quality, you know, shaping people, especially in Torah life. Shinantan Levadacha. So we look at that as a parental relationship. So the emphasis on, you know, more isn't necessarily more. Sometimes more is a dilution. So what do we mean when we say Talmidim Harbe? What's the idea of Harbe? That's number one. And of course, the phrase that's used here, Hamidu, which is not an obvious term at all. Normally, you know, you would, you know, would say Limdu Talmidim Harbe. Some of the Mefarshim in Medrash Shmuel, and some of them on the Perish on the Mishnayos, not the Rishonim, not the Rabbi Yonah, the Rambam and Rashi, but some of the, like, you know, Chronim on Perish and Mishnayos, were noted, you know, the usage Hamidu as something that is unusual. And again, it's something also that needs to be looked at. Some of them, Farshim, suggest that it refers to, you know, there being, you know, the Sachar Zvulun partnership, you know, in education, that you need financing, and the people who don't have the ability to teach directly, you know, still, you know, can be equally involved by understanding the importance of this and contributing to it and enabling it. And that's how they understand, some of them understand Hamidu, that refers to being Mefarnes, and they go on to discuss the Yisachar Zvulun relationship. I think it's one day in the Tashbetz, here in the Medrash Shmuel, Alatar. Personally, I like the interpretation, and then somebody told me subsequently that the Rav said this as well, so I'm sure other people say it too, and that is that Hamidu implies a certain measure of independence, that you know, should teach in such a manner that you give people the tools, right, to be able to continue to learn themselves, number one, and that's where kind of a methodological approach to chinuch comes from logic and an understanding what chinuch is, but certainly will be supported by this interpretation of Hamidu, but not just in terms of you know, being able to continue alone and having the tools and the methodology to do so, not being dependent in that sense, but also staking out a certain measure of independence. That's recognizing that everybody has a nofech mishalahem to contribute, and that the koach achidush, is something which is valued in halacha and in Torah, and that, you know, people with different personalities and different orders of exposure, you know, people who live in different times are sometimes, you know, capable of seeing things or building on the, you know, either seeing things, you know, by virtue of one of these factors that other people didn't see, even if they're not necessarily greater than them. People are also capable of individual insight and greatness. And in some cases, it's the building off of the, you know, the efforts of others that allows for a new angle or wrinkle, or in some cases even a breakthrough. That's true in general when it comes to breakthroughs in all areas that are important, whether it's science or humanities and Torah as well. I mean, there's not only one formula for a breakthrough. Breakthroughs come in any of the ways that we just mentioned. You're, you know, positioned. There can be, you know, a hashgacha element to it, or, you know, you're a child of your times, or the sum of your exposures, or the building on the efforts of others. In all fields, this is the case. And part of Hamidu, Talmidim Harbe, is not only providing people the opportunity, you know, to continue on their own, training them, but also, you know, giving them a charge of being open to being independent and innovative, and capitalizing, you know, on those opportunities. That's why Torah never gets stale, and that's why, you know, we talk about, you know, insights rippling across the system, at least I do, and that's exactly what we mean. Sometimes it can be a small thing that leads to a big thing, a new insight, which, you know, shapes and reshapes all the other things, you know, connected with it as well. So the goal of Hamidu is important, even as it needs to be integrated with the concept of Mesorah that we begin with in this Mishnah. Moshe Kibel and Masar. We talked about the Kibel and the Masar. The Hamidu allows for a Masar, and not just for a Kibel, but the Masar and the Hamidu never takes place unless you first have the Kibel. And I also like to always point out that really there are two you know, constituencies here, and it's important to keep them in mind. There are the Talmidim and the Rabbeim, you know, if you will. And in, you know, most cultures, most educational enterprises, certainly, but even in all fields, the nature of man and his ego and his, you know, striving for recognition, you know, his own niche, and so on, is that, you know, the you know, the teacher is going to want to, you know, kind of, you know, secure his own legacy of continuity, and his own accomplishments, sometimes at the expense of, you know, allowing his students to, you know, to take off and to fly. And the student, you know, who has his own ego and his own, you know, sense of destiny, is someone who's going to want to be, you know, more independent, and, you know, sometimes to, you know, to basically not discard, but at least extricate himself, you know, from the influence of a master, you know, mentor. And sometimes the more influential and powerful the mentor, the greater the need sometimes to, you know, to cast that influence aside. That's the nature of, you know, human beings and ego and relationships, both on a father and child level and on a mentor disciple level. The Torah and, you know, the concept of Mesorah and the concept of Rebbe and Talmud tries very hard to reverse that equation. And, you know, that certainly is the goal. And the goal is that Talmidim should feel a certain appreciation and sense of, you know, connection and dependence upon, you know, the previous chain of the Mesorah that brought them there. Again, Eila told us Ben Avram, Avram, holy, that's Yitzchak, you know, is really kind of addressing this issue. We know that Yitzchak and Avram were very different. We've spoken about it a lot of times. But the self-image of Yitzchak is as a Ben Avram. And in the initial self-image of Yaakov is that he's, you know, the son of, you know, Pachad Yitzchak. So this is like a very old and you know, Yehoshua sees himself as you know, Talmud was, you know, Lomosh Mitocha Ohal, and that's his greatness, and that's, you know, where it all comes from. But certainly, in all these cases, what the father wanted for the child, or what the Rebbe wanted for the Talmud, was also that sense of independence. I mean, the goal is Bakol Miskanim Chutz Mibno V'Talmido. Somebody once told me that, you know, that in the name of Dr. Belkin, that he once quipped and said that, you know, of all the Mamore Chazal that he doesn't understand, this is like, you know, the first one. Because in the experience of man and his and the relationship of teachers and students, you know, this is a very difficult tchuna, mida, you know, to cultivate. But that's the truth is that the reason that Torah has thrived and flourished and continues to is because there is this sense of awareness that this is the goal, and often, you know, through humility and sacrifice, that's why Yer HaShamayim is such a sine qua non for Talmud Torah, this is something that can be accomplished. And again, you hear about the great, most creative and innovative people speak about, you know, their Rabbeim, and, you know, you would think that they were just clones, but, you know, but we know that they're not. You know, when Rabbi Elazar said, Me'olam lo amarti davar shelo shamati mipi Rabbi, so Chazal already pointed out that it's just, you know, it isn't true, because, you know, he said a lot of innovative things that, you know, he didn't quote from others. And, you know, I always like to quote the Rav, who used to say that, you know, like he learned with his father for 18 years or whatever the amount was, you know, but, you know, that he felt that he learned Kol Torah Kula with his father. Even the things that he didn't learn, he felt that he learned, because he felt that the methodology, you know, that he got, and, you know, kind of the, you know, that Tumus Dyukno that was, you know, over his shoulder, you know, if he wasn't saying a good svara, you know, is something that continued. So this is the, on the one hand, it's Hamidu Talmidim Harbe. On the other hand, it's the idea of Mesorah. And the ideal way for it really to be manifest, although in a perfect, it's an imperfect world and it doesn't always happen that way, is for, I say, Talmidim, you know, to be Mekablim and to have the sense of you know, that humility and the ability—that's their basically their ticket, their mafteach, their key to being able to grow and to thrive and to flourish, and so on. And at the same time, you know, that the mentor, that the Rebbe, should be somebody who really does encourage independent thought and even independent approaches, as long as they're responsible and there is a hemshechiut, there's a certain continuity, you know, with that mesorah itself. So the idea of hamidu talmidim harbe. Is a critical notion as well. So just getting back to this, there were those who understood that basically Hamidu Talmidim Harbe is just an extension of Hevu Mesunim Badin. If you look again in the Medrash Shmuel, so you know, there are those who suggest, for example, that, you know, part of being Mesunim Badin is to have Talmidim Harbe, you know, who can bounce your idea of Mitalmidai Yoser Mikulam, Shem Tov Ibn Shem Tov, and Tashbates and others say this, you know, Mitalmida Yoser Mikulam, and, you know, this is, we were talking, the last time we spoke about Hevu Mesunim Badin, about the, you know, some of the Sanhedrin issues and parallels. So in the context of the Sanhedrin, right, the Shakla Vitaria includes shuros of Talmidim, who aren't going to vote, but who can be part of the, you know, Shakla Vitaria. You know, those fresh ideas that you want to hear, and you want to be challenged, and so on. So one way to understand Hevu Mesunim Bedin Hamidu Talmidim Harbe is that it's all basically, you know, one and the same, and surely that's a very important part of it. Moreover, the idea of, you know, saying Hevu Mesunim Bedin, you know, jeopardizes the, you know, efficiency of the system, because if you're really going to be deliberate, you know, and deliberate doesn't just refer to the quality and the steps that you need to take, you know, to challenge, you know, whether or not this individual psak is appropriate, etc., in the sense of responsibility, but it really does slow you down. It's really deliberate in the temporal sense. So, you know, that kind of, you know, raises an important question about the efficiency of the system. So some of the Mefarshim here, again, say, no, hevu mesunim bedin, hamidu talmidim harbe. In other words, produce many poskim. Even those who don't have that direct connection, understand that hamidu talmidim harbe, and that's how they address the harbe question, is, you know, l'shem hevu mesunim bedin, you need to produce a poskim, an effective poskim. So basically, the way to do that is shlach lachmacha, you know, to produce, you know, a lot of talmidim. Because as Chazal say, you know, for every 1,000, you know, you have 100, for every 100, you have 2, and for every 2, you have 1, you know, who's going to be, you know, that person. So it's not so much talmidim harbe, according to that perspective, per se. It's talmidim harbe, you know, with the say, for the sake of producing hebu mesunim. So that's one approach that we find, you know, in the Mefarshim, that this is basically an instrumental kind of a charge. However, I think the majority view is not that way, and certainly I think that all, you know, so obviously these are not mutually exclusive ideas, and while those first ideas are very important, particularly the Hamidu Tamidim Harbe part of it, at the same time, clearly what you have here is a charge, you know, to teach, and not just to produce a poskim, but a chinuch per se. And the triad is, the recipe, if you will, the strategy, you know, for post nevuah flourishing of Torah, is to have the proper, you know, leadership and in psak, as we just discussed, hevu mesunim adin. It's, you know, also to have halachic policy that protects, Klal Yisrael, you know, and again, ensures the integrity of the system, you know, from past to future. That's siag, asu siag haTorah. But at the same time, maybe the middle one is the key one, and that is simply the education per se, the centrality, the role, in other words, of Talmud Torah. And not only learning Torah in this case, but Hamidu Talmidim Harbe refers to the obligation, you know, to teach, to be mechanich. Partly, this issue, we're not going to discuss this fully right now, but it touches on the relationship between Lilmod and Lelamed. Gittori uses the same word, almost. Limud HaTorah has a double meaning, surely, intentionally a double meaning, right, of learning and teaching. And maybe we'll do this as a standalone topic once, but they're very fascinating insights to be gleaned by studying the relationship between Lilmod and Lelamed in various sugyas and in various Rishonim, including, you know, just charting the Gemaras, the Ptur Talmud Torah for Nashim, both on the Lilmod and Lelamed part, where that comes from, Sefer Mitzvos, the formulation of various Rishonim. There's some Rishonim who counted Lilmod and Lelamed separately, Psajigon and Bahag. Most Rishonim count it as one, like the Rambam, but the formulations as to which one is Ikar, or whether or not they're both the same, is very fascinating. The Rambam in different places, seems to project, you know, different image of the relationship between them, and say for Mitzvos and the Minyan HaKotzar, in the beginning of the Talmud Torah and the Koteret. Again, maybe we'll discuss it separately. But this Lilmod Lamed issue is a very fascinating one. It has important implications to understanding, you know, relationships, and also practically in terms of the extent to which everybody is obligated to Lamed, and, you know, the relationship between personal growth and the obligation, obviously, to share with others. So it's very interesting that Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, if we take it away from the purely instrumental aspect of producing, you know, the requisite amount of Talmidei Chachamim, Poskim, leaders of every generation, really is bepashtus understood as the obligation to produce Talmidim and to spread Torah in a very harbe, in a very democratic way. The Keser Torah's Munach V'Omed Lakol, and it's, you know, greater than any other keser. It doesn't happen, you know, like many democratic things, you know, by virtue of dilution. Everybody has a right to vote. It takes hard work, yigiyah. and you know, to really qualify and to make a kinyan a Torah is something that you know, that requires effort and investment. But it's democratic in the sense that it's open to all. There's no elite. There's only the elite that you create by your own hard work and commitment. It's accessible to all. It's doable. It's obligatory upon all, and it's not limited in any way, or doesn't even know the concept of elites, or of, you know, of restrictions. Not kahuna, not levia, not yisrael, not you know, wealth and poverty, not yichus and lack of yichus. It's the ultimate democratic principle, and since Talmud Torah keneged kulam, you know, and Talmud Chacham has a higher stature than, you know, than a Kohen Gadol. So in that sense, it's the ultimate equalizer as well. It shouldn't be pursued, you know, for the sake of being a kardom lachbarbo, not, you know, financially necessarily, and certainly not in terms of stature. But at the same time, it, you know, when pursued sincerely, it has that effect. So hamidu talmidim harbe is basically part of this charge. Hamidu talmidim harbe, you know, is of course invokes the machlokas between, which we'll speak more about maybe next week, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, regarding you know, who is qualified to be a Talmud. As you know, the Beis Shammai had a very restrictive view because of their high threshold of, you know, what Talmud Torah is, and probably, you know, stature, achieving stature in that, you know, what can accomplish and the effect it can have on Klal Yisrael. So Beis Shammai took a, you know, elitist in the sense of, again, not class elitist, and not even intellectual elitist, but you're a Shemayim, you know, elitist approach to education. Ben Yonah, you know, sees Hamidu Talmidim Harbe as being a rejection of that Shita and an endorsement of the Shita of Beis Hillel. Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, Kandas Beis Hillel, Kinyan Shashaninu, Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Malavdim El Talmud Hagun Sanua, Kosher, Yorei Shamayim, right? And so on. Beis Hillel Omrim, Milamdim Lekol Adam. And then it's followed by Mea Bishvil Sheyetzim Em Asara, Asara Kedei Sheyetzim Shnayim, Shnayim Sheinim Einchem Yodim Eza Mehem Yifshar Ze Oze, Vim Shneim Keachad Tovim, right? This is all about the Gedim Nasim Tiyashim, to quote some of the other Mefarshim. The question is, to what extent are Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel arguing fundamentally, or again, you know, strategically? In other words, some quotations of Beis Hillel make it seem that Beis Hillel agrees with Beis Shammai too, that in theory, you know, the only people who really should, you know, be trusted with the keys and, you know, built up, or who are worthy of learning Torah, are people who have a certain threshold of Yirat Shamayim and responsibility, you know, and so on. Otherwise, either it's lost on them, or it's too dangerous, you know, to give them, you know, this kind of a knowledge. You know, we're always worried about the abuse of power and knowledge that people have, and unfortunately, there are too many examples of that. And every mechanech has to worry about that. That's part of the question, of part of the responsibility of trying to instill Yirat Shamayim and trying to be careful who you teach. It's harder Bizman Azeh, for various reasons. You know, sometimes you have invisible audiences, and even in the audiences in front of you, there are other pressures. But that's certainly the sensibility. There are really two issues in discussing Beis Hillel, Shammai, and Beis Hillel. The sensibility of Yirat Shamayim and the dangers that can come from ignoring who your audience is something which, you know, Beis Shammai, you know, magnifies. But to the point of, you know, coming to a very radical conclusion, you know, about excluding or limiting, you know, excluding some people from education, and, you know, limiting it in a very significant manner. But the sensibilities of Beis Shammai, meaning what he's concerned about, worried about, both intrinsically in terms of Kedushas HaTorah and in terms of the fallout that can take place, is something which, you know, we shouldn't ignore. That echo is something that needs to be addressed, even if you take a more open educational policy like Beis Hillel. And of course the question is, and Beis Hillel was just arguing about the best way to produce that, you know, 1 in 10,000, or Beis Hillel fundamentally was arguing about the you know, democratization of knowledge. I think that, you know, there are both elements, are implied in the various formulations of Beis Hillel. But certainly the idea that, you know, Hamidu Tamidim Harbe says, either, for the purposes of producing the elite, or in addition, certainly, the democratization of Talmud Torah, Hamidu Tamidim Harbe becomes an important theme, and part of the mitzvah of Lelamed. Again, it's interesting that the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Reish Mem Hei, I don't know if anybody has made this diuk, but basically quotes the language of the Rambam, but it's just interesting how they designated the name of the Simen. Right, Shechayev Kol Adam B'Talmud Torah. No, I'm sorry, this is Reish Mem Vav. Reish Mem Hei is the one I'm interested in. Chayev Kol Adam Lilamed Libno Ulahamid Talmidin. So, again, I don't think it's a coincidence, that people started using the expression Lahamid, Talmidim, based on Hamidu Talmidim Harbe. The Rambam in Perek Aleph of Talmud Torah speaks about the obligation to produce Talmidim. I'll get to that in a minute, but I'm not sure. And the Rambam basically says, based on the Gemara's in Kiddushin a little bit, but then by expanding the words of the Sifrei, Kashem Sha'adam Chayv Lamed is Beno, Kachu Chayv Lamed is Ben Beno, Shenemar Vodatim Labanacho of Nevanacho, this is a Gemara in Kiddushin. And then he says, Velo Beno, Uben Beno Bilvad, Ela Mitzvah Al, and this language is very important, Al Kol Chacham V'Chacham Mi Yisrael, the Lamed is Kol HaTalmidim. So it's Kol Chacham V'Chacham Mi Yisrael, interesting language. The Lamed is Kol HaTalmidim, interesting language. Afapi She'enan Banav. Shenemar V'Shinantan Levanacha, Mipia Shmuelamdu, Banacha Elu Talmidecha. Sha'atalmidim Kurim Banim Shenemar, and so on. And then the Imke Laman Estabal Beno Ben Beno, Ad Kedekach, he asks, Lahakdim, right, Beno Leben Beno, Ben Chavero, and so on. And then the Kesamish is Mistapek, whether only Beno is Kodem Lechavero, or even Ben Beno is Kodem Lechavero, and what about Ben Bito, since there's no obligation to Bito, what about Ben Bito? Is that, something more than Ben Chavero? That also is a very interesting question. The question of what I call the concentric circles, your obligation in general, to Klal Yisrael that flows out of, your prior obligation to family members, whether it's in tzedakah or other chiyuvim, etc. Where do you draw the line in that, and how exactly, does it work? If we say that banecha, rei talmidecha, it implies that it has to begin, certainly, with banecha. Anyways, the point is that the Rambam here formulates an obligation of teaching. Again, certainly to someone who has the capability, al kol chacham v'chacham, right, the lamed s, and he adds, kol atamidim, right? There's an interesting, and again, Shulchan Aruch quotes this, but under the heading of, the obligation, lahamid talmidim, which is the way of integrating the Mishnah as well. Rambam does make a comment, interestingly enough, in Pirush Mishnayos on this Mishnah in Avos, not quite sure why, but it is interesting that he does it. The Gra in Shulchan Aruch obviously was bothered by the thinness of evidence, I guess, that there is such an obligation. It says Vishinantam Levanecha. The question is that really a chiyuv to teach others, or does it just mean, that it's an Eitz Tova, or it's an extension? So the Gra, I'm just quoting from the Frankel, just because it's more convenient, quotes many other Makoros. The Gemara in Tzmura, Asher V'Rash Nifgashu, Kolamonea Halacha. What's particularly fascinating is that most of the Makoros are Makoros that link up the obligation to teach with the obligation to support in more concrete and tangible terms as well. Halo pros la ra'av lachmecha, the ein ra'av ela ha ra'av min divrei Torah, Then lechem eladivrei Torah. Shenemar hinei yamin ba'im neum Hashem. Veishlachti ra'av ba'aretz. Lo ra'av lalechem. Right? Mikan amru im yesh adam shu meivin b'divrei Torah yifarnes mitarnaso. Gam kein kedei shetirba shetarbe chokmaso. Umosifan olea v'kola osa kein eno nimna minatova. And then the osopek ki tire arum v'kisiso keitzad elim ra'isa adam she'im bo divrei Torah hachniseu lebeischa v'lamdeu kriyashma tvila lamdeu pasuk echad b'chol yom o halacha achad zarzeu b'mitzvos eincha arum b'yisrael elim she'im bo Torah. These are all different, the Gra's not making this up, I mean these are all divrei Chazal, but it's fascinating that the Gra, you know, is, you know, it is in order to kind of expand and fortify this idea of the chiyuv to teach others, you know, particularly is invoking or noting that a lot of the makoros liken the obligation to teach Torah to others to the obligation to sustain others in terms of parnasa, you know, and food and clothing, etc., which, you know, has a kind of dual effect. On the one hand, you know, it's inspirational and even more ambitious, you know, initially, you know, this idea that, you know, withholding, you know, spiritual sustenance, you know, from someone is the equivalent of starving him, you know, and letting him fall between the cracks in terms of a standard of living and, like, very basic things, you know, obviously speaks to the, you know, the indispensability and the, you know, the way that Talmud Torah really defines, you know, the life of Klal Yisrael. And that's very ambitious. At the same time, of course, once you accept that kind of equation, then it just, you know, you're plugging it in. So then it's not so much, you know, the obligation to be selfless or the idea that, you know, all Klal Yisrael, you know, it's Torah Sarabim, you know, and therefore, you know, contributing to it or maybe being the one, that's one could have said, this is kind of what I'm suggesting, that part of the idea of Hamidu, Talmidim Harbe, in addition to, you know, in being a good, you know, strategy for producing the one, is, in addition to the democratization of knowledge and idea, giving everybody an opportunity, is also that's part of your own contribution to, you know, to being Marbe Torah B'Yisrael, to Chiddush, and to adding, you know, to the corpus of Torah. It's part of your contribution in ensuring the continuity, you know, and legacy for the next generation, part of the Mesorah idea. But in a way, it's also part of your contribution to the Chiddush of Torah and to being Mosif to Torah because, you know, Shlach Lachmacha, you know, in, you know, you don't know whether it's, you know, it's, you know, that's part of what Chazal are quoting here, you know, as well. Al Tanach, you know, Yadecha, you know, a young Rebbe, a more seasoned Rebbe, you know, maybe has different things, you know, that he's effective in conveying. Some people just get better, you know, with age, or maybe they just become different with age in terms of what they emphasize or what their strengths are. But you have also, you know, the generation gap as it grows, you know, creates greater challenges, but in some respect, also greater opportunities. You know, the Rav is to speak about that a lot, very poetically. But sometimes it's just, you know, you just don't know, you know, who that Talmud is going to be, who's going to, you know, interact with your teaching and Torah or insights in a way that's just going to produce something different, you know, or magnificent. Despite, you know, completely unrelated to the different stages of life, or sometimes connected with it. So in a way, you know, you could really understand that, you know, the obligation here, you know, to Hamidu, Talmidim Harbe, is to, you know, whatever the combinations are, whatever, you know, because of the range of people and their circumstances and the interaction between your circumstances and their circumstances, etc., it's all just this magnificent, you know, new, you know, an adventurous, you know, opportunities each time, each Talmud, each, you know, stage, you know, and so on. And for that reason, there's always a chiyuv, you know, not only the lamed, but, you know, hamidu, talmidim, harbe, and especially this explosive mix of, you know, Mesorah and hamidu. So the Gra is not, you know, and those makoros are not saying that. They're saying more, everybody has, you know, the right to this maintenance, and to this, you know, basic, you know, subsistence. So it's inspirational in the sense that it establishes the indispensability. This is food and drink, and you know, you can't live without it, so you can't let your fellow, you know, Jew live without it either. But I think that there is, in addition to those makaros, you know, this added dimension as well. This sense of responsibility, you know, for the quality of education is also something very intriguing. So there's an interesting, you know, Ravid, that I always like to quote in Hilchos Shavuos, Perek Vav, Halacha Tes. For some reason I would think it's in Perek Dalet, and then I never find it, and then it's always in Perek Vav. I'm not sure why I think it's in Perek Dalet, but it's Perek Vav Halacha Tes. So the Rambam talks, Keshad Nishba B'tala Shfuasa B'das Rabim, Shelo Yehena Diploni Leolam, Behutzuchu Bnei Oso Ha'ir, Lilmo Torah Olamisha Yamulus Bneim, Oshi Yizbach Lahem. Right, you need this person as a shochet, as a moel, or for our purposes now, as a rebbe to teach talmidim, to teach banim. And you made a shavua, right, bedas rabim, which means you can't revoke it. Shelo Yehena Diploni Leolam. That you won't, you know, he can't get any financial benefit from you. And it turns out he's the only guy, you know, around who can do this. So Harez Anishal Lachacham, Alishlosh Shadyotos, Matirlo Shuaso, says the Rama, Beosal Mitzvah Seilu, the Notoskar, Meosan Ranashim, Shinishbashal Yanamehem. Okay. So the Ravid disagrees. And there's a whole, Amr Abram, Yeshkan Lashon Acher, Yeshkan Dvarim Shel Tema, Yimnishba Haboel, or Shochet, Shalayanem, Ibnea Ir, Aldas Rabim, Yomalem Vishre Bechinam, Velo Yanamehem. My mitzvah Ika Behetra Nidro, why can't he just do it for free? Unless, you know, he has no other way of sustaining himself, in which case the only way he could teach for free and would be to teach for pay, and then under those circumstances, maybe this would be justified. Anyway, that's the Ravid discussion. So there's a different nusach of this hasaga of the Ravid, nuscha cheris bezos hasaga, and in the end of the piece, the addition, part of the addition is as follows. Aval mashe kosov betarge mazeh shamelamed neder shelo yehena mehem kashelo imtzu melamed yafa kamohu eza pesach yele nidro sheyena mehem belimudo yelamed el son bechinam yitia mitzvah so yaseira velo tibat vela mitzvah avlim lo yucha lechya oselim ken yasuk b'umanus o yelamed beschar efshar sheyeza pesach le nidro ilo ayisi yodea shelo yimatsu kamoni lo yisi no der shayisi savorch esok beumnasi right vi echye zulasav the heimim tzu kamoni. Then in Ravid adds the im kolzeh, this is the part I'm interested in, ein daiti noche heimenu, I don't think this is correct, sheena mitzvah mutelis alav levakesh lahem melamed mumcha. The Ravid says it's not his obligation to find a melamed mumcha for the city, that's the people's obligation. So what's interesting is that the Kesef Mishnah, commenting on that line, Masha Kosav Im Kozer In Daiti Nocha Heimenu She Mitzvah Mutelas Alav, he says Yesh Lomar She'apa Pisha Mitzvahs Limud HaTorah Mutelas Alav B'Yichud Mikol Mako Mitzvah Al Kol Chacham L'Lame Torah L'Talmidim. So what is that? That could be in quotation marks. They don't mention it here. Mekoros V'Tziyunim, in my opinion, passed up a good opportunity here, but whatever. What this is a quotation of the Rambam in Perek Aleph, right, Hilchos Talmud Torah Halacha Beis, you know, which again is for the Shulchan Aruch, you know, basically Hamidu Talmidim Harbei, meaning is part of Hamidu Talmidim Harbei, you know, the obligation to ensure, if it's up to you, you know, if it's in your hands, in other words, that the quality of other people's chinuch, you know, is as high as it can be. And the Ravid is basically saying no, and the Kesef Mishnah is saying, well, it sounds that way in the Rambam. Although the Rambam didn't really say that, right? The Rambam says, mitzvah kol chacham, right, the lilamed as kol atalmidim, or something like that. Didn't say anything about, you know, being responsible for the quality. Not such a leap from one to the other, but it's a very interesting, as I say, issue. Okay, we're going to have to stop here. But so just to sum up what we've discussed so far, certainly Hamidu Talmidim Harbei is a very critical second component to the Anshei Knesset HaGdola's legacy and to the, you know, furthering the goal of continuity and the, you know, advancement and flourishing of Torah life in the post-Nevuah era. And, you know, it really touches on a reinforcement or a strengthening of some of the issues of Heaven Basunim Badin. But in addition to that, really it touches again on the dialectic of Mesorah and Chiddush in the sense of, you know, Talmidim Harbe, but Hamidu. Not only, as I say, in the sense of independence, but, you know, creative independence. But in addition to that, it touches on the question of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, meaning educational policy. Do we educate, you know, what is the threshold required Yiras Shamayim to teach? That's number one, something I want to speak more about next time. An interesting educational question. The question of elitism versus, you know, a more broader, you know, educational agenda. Like, at what price do you focus on that, you know, those few, the ones that are, you know, Elef Nichnas, you know, Mea Yotze, and then you pare it down further from there, or, you know, the wider audience and population, and, you know, how do you really address, you know, both of those issues? And three, what is the obligation of Lelamed, you know, for each individual, and to what extent is this all about, you know, just about clothing and feeding Klal Yisrael, which is an amazing idea itself, or about furthering, you know, Torah Yisrael, and the idea of Talmud Torah Derabim as well, you know, becomes an important issue here. So these are some of the issues, and we'll speak a little further about it. Thanks.